You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your busy day to join me. We are in the middle of a study now. It's a sermon I just preached 2 weeks ago. It's entitled, So You're an Agnostic. And we're looking here today at what are the odds? You know, we have to follow the Lord's example. And when He was on the road with legitimate agnostics, that is, those who were skeptical, in that case, those on the road to Emmaus were skeptical because they thought the Messiah was going to conquer and overthrow Rome and set up His kingdom. And they were skeptical. And how did the Lord Jesus deal with agnostics? And the answer to that is Bible prophecy. And it's the same way that you and I should as well. So we're looking here today. Now, I mentioned Barack Obama. I don't mean to pick on him. That's just one name as well as any other. At church, I use Donald Trump. It's an example of hypocrisy. Pick anyone that you want to be the Messiah. Anyone. David, pick others that were born in Bethlehem. We're looking at odds. This is not, I don't mean to pick on him or anyone else. But it's a look, what are the odds of one person fulfilling multiple things written about them before they were born? That's the purpose of this, heading into this. So this is part two now of this message, So You're an Agnostic.
A prophecy is something that is spoken in utterance of something claimed to be fact before it happens. Before it happens. And that is what sets this book apart from everything else. And why you need to believe and take heart in everything that God has said to you in His book. Because you, Mr. Agnostic, who I'm talking to, you don't have a lot of time. There is only one religious book that would dare put its reputation on the line and predict the future, and that is the Word of God. Because once something doesn't come to pass, then you can toss the book out, right? If there's inaccuracies in the Bible, inaccuracies, don't believe it. Like this. This is Esposito's Book of Prophecy. Here it is. I got my Karnak hat on. The 35th president of the United States will be a war hero. And his three sons will be war hero. He will live a long life and die of a heart attack. Now, if I wrote a book of prophecy on John F. Kennedy that started with that statement, what would you do with it? Come on, throw it out. Now, how about this? Now, you're talking to an agnostic here. How about this? Esposito's Book of Prophecy. What would you do if I had a book that said this? A king from Virginia will arise, and he'll be the first king of a new nation. He'll be the general of an army. And then my book continues. And 15 kings later, another king will arise from Kentucky, and he will set the captives free and die before his time. He will die in a booth buy a booth. Now, if you read that, which was guaranteed written 700 years before it happened, would my book now have your attention? If it wouldn't, then you are being intellectually dishonest. And you're not an agnostic, at least not an, as you use the word. No, you're not skeptic. I'll say you are a true agnostic, and that would be stupid. Stupid enough to end up in hell because you're ticked off that God loves you. Let's clear the smoke here, friends. You're ticked off that God loves you, so you're going to go to hell. Don't tell me that book wouldn't interest you if that was written 700 years before it happened. I don't believe you. You're being dishonest to me. The real thing is you refuse to bow the knee and call Jesus Christ Lord. You're not an agnostic. You don't want to give up your sin. No, you're not an agnostic. You're not like these three on the road to Emmaus. So did you know that God's word is explicitly clear as my imaginary but true book was? Except his book is real. Meaning, he is God, you are a sinner, the wages of sin is death, and you need help, and you need it fast. Friend, you're a sinner, and you could die tomorrow. People die all the time. How many here has ever known anyone that's died? Now, back to the subject of prophecy. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but others are, and they've run the numbers. And my numbers have been corrected since speaking of this in the past. So let's talk about numbers. Simple, secular numbers. That is, the odds of one person, any one person, fulfilling the description of something explicitly written about them before the fact. That's prophecy. Now remember, the odds would grow exponentially after two. For instance, the odds, all right, not religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking odds. You know, Jimmy the Greek, Las Vegas, point spreads, over-unders, gambling, sports, odds. We're not even talking religion. We're talking numbers here. Money line. The odds of fulfilling three prophecies is equivalent of hitting the pick six lotto every Saturday night from your 18th birthday till your 85th birthday. Every Saturday night. You get in that little, what is it? Is it yellow? That last ball that comes up? What's it called again? That crazy thing worth $1 billion every week? Powerball. I think the ball's yellow. That's every week of your life from 18 to 85, you getting all five and getting that yellow number every week as long as you live from 18 to 85. That's the odds of one person fulfilling three things written about them before it happens. And you're an agnostic. Have I got your attention now? Let me take you on a short trek through the Word of God. And let me share with you that indeed there is a God, and that he sent his Son into this world to redeem you back to him for the sole purpose of this. Now, before I go further, let me anticipate a possible objection. These are some objections you would run into as you're doing this. Perhaps you would say that Christians, after the fact, have gone in and altered the word of God so that it would seem that Jesus fulfilled all these prophecies. Sorry, but that argument doesn't cut it. You see, the Old Testament, the Greek Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, was translated into Greek in 250 BC. The translation is a known fact regarding its existence and what it contains, Copies have been in the greatest known library in the world, that is in Alexandria, Egypt. Copies have been there since 200 BC. And the letter from King Philadelphus, who commanded the translation to be made because the whole world spoke Greek. And he hired 72 Jewish scholars and put them in pairs of two, 36 pairs of two. And as history has it, all 36 pairs of two came up with the same translation, locked in a room. That is the Greek Septuagint, which so intrigued me so much, I spent 5 years translating it. I've got a copy in my office. When Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes and infants, you've ordained strength. And that's not in my Bible. That started the ball rolling. Even Jesus quotes from it. Anyway, point is, you can't say Christians went in and changed the word because it's written down 200 years before Christ. Also, the Dead Sea Scrolls contain the Greek Old Testament. They go back to 100 years B.C. Okay, so first, let's start with something written about 700 years before Christ was born. But we got to start here. Just take some average, ordinary people. Because you're an agnostic. Let's see. Maybe David could be the Messiah. Maybe Moses. Maybe Jesus. Maybe Barack Obama's your Messiah. Maybe John the Baptist. The odds of one person doing three of these is the odds of you hitting the lottery every week of your life until you're 85. How old are you, Ron? Every week. Just three things. Remember, this is, we're not even talking about religion. We're talking about odds. Odds of one person doing these things. Let's start with Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old, even from everlasting. So, whoever the Messiah is, he's got to come from Bethlehem. All right, he's remained unscathed, even though it was written 300 years after he died. For the sake of argument, we'll leave him there. Moses, where was he born? Sorry, Mo. Jesus, unscathed. Barack Obama, let's just say, depending on his audience, maybe he'll say he was born there. Says he's American, he might as well be born in Bethlehem. So let's say, for argument's sake, Barack Obama survives prophecy number one, and he's born in Bethlehem. Maybe he was born in a manger. I don't know. I wasn't there. John the Baptist, where was he born?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the